You guys got some pretty singers around here. I guess since this is being taped, I better clarify those are my wife and my daughter, right? Or anybody listen to this message and say, they're pretty liberal over there. It reminds me. You know, watch what we say. But I remember some time back, we were, when Bill was still there in Mexico before I called the cops on him. We were down there. We were in Morelia, and for some reason, our wives were also in León at the time. And for either conference or something, I don't remember well, but we took a group of young people with us to the men's meeting there in León. And Brent was there, and I'm pretty sure it was in Morelia because Lauda was there. She was a young Christian, and she was in the truck driving back with Bill and Brent. And they were going, and we're heading back home, and all of a sudden, Brent looks out the window, and there's a car passing, right? And Bill says, Brent goes, "Hey, Bill, check out them girls. They're good looking." And this sister, young Christian, was in the back, and she's going, "What did you say?" "I was just telling Bill that those girls in that car were good looking. I mean, they're really good looking girls." And she could not believe it. She said, you guys can do that?" She goes, "Yeah, we can do that. What are you talking about? But you guys are pastors. You guys are missionaries. Well, you guys can look at women and yeah." Yeah, and they just let her. She was just furious. And they finally told her once they got back home that, "Oh, by the way, those were our wives in the car that we were talking about." Man, we have fun. Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms 85 and verse 6. In verse 6, it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day that you brought us all together, Lord. I just ask that you use me, Lord, tonight, that you clear my mind of the things of this world, Lord, and everybody that's here, Father, that you just help us to try to get something tonight, Lord. We want to hear you. We want to want you to speak to us. We want you to have freedom tonight, Lord, as I try to preach your word, Lord. I just ask that you be honored in everything that that you want me to say. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I mentioned a little bit yesterday about the what we want out of revival, you know, and tonight I want to talk about a little bit about the point of revival. You know, I think this verse says it clear about rejoicing. You know, just to reiterate something, us as Christians, we need to not forget, and we need to remember, if that's the case tonight, that it's not about you, it's about God. Yeah. That, I mean, coming to church, serving God, getting saved, it's all about God. We were on a road going to hell before God saved us, and then now that He put us in His service, it's His service. It's not your service anymore. It's His service. So we need to remember that we need to take our eyes off of ourselves and put it on the author and finisher of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, I mentioned also last night about, you know, revival I don't think we should be expecting to get revived. That means we're going to get bigger crowds. We're going to have less problems in the church. We're going to see all these things. You know, just like if you read a little bit about church history and the different type of movements and things just happen, incredible things. Now, all these things can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
People can start giving to the gospel.
Yeah, amen.
Christians can get revived and start doing more.
Yeah.
Or start doing something.
Yes.
You know, Christians can, if they get revived, start being faithful to church.
Yes.
Wanting to serve God. But you know, when this starts is when you get that joy. when we can humble ourselves, when we go to God and we in prayer, we confess our sin, we turn from our sin, then we can start rejoicing again.
Amen.
And I think that's important to understand about revival. We need to get that joy. We need to ask God to give us back that joy. It's not about getting stuff.
Amen.
You know?
That's right.
I mean, to tell you the truth, I love being a Christian, but I love being also a preacher.
Amen.
You know, just being a preacher, sometimes I get treated way better than I should be treated. I guarantee you that. I mean, down there in Mexico, whenever they invite me to go preach at different churches, it's just humbling sometimes because I go to someone's house and they have actually given up their own bedroom for me. And I show up there and they give me their bedroom and they're sleeping on the floor with their kids. Didn't happen at Bill's house this time, but... At least I'm not with Honey, the dog, outside. But, you know, we're treated way better. You know, and you're treated better. I'm treated better just because we are God's children. And because I preach the gospel, I don't do this on purpose. It just happens to come out sometimes. You know, I get pulled over by a police officer, and in the conversation, you know, it comes out, well, what do? Well, I'm a preacher. You know, and every time it's worked out for me. Somehow they say, well, you know, this is a warning. You know, it's not the first thing I throw out there because, you know, I'm thinking if it's the first thing I throw out there, they're probably going to take me to jail. I say, well, if it comes up in conversation, I just might mention it. But there's so many things. It's serving God. I mean, we have to admit, we get more than what we deserve.
Amen. Oh, that's true.
Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. You know, Michael told me, I know he's mentioned here before, the story about when he got invited to preach one time, and for his offering, they gave him a lump of clay, something like that, for his offering. You never could understand. A lump of clay and a bag of half-eaten cheese mix, right? Or something like that. Oh, okay. Well, my story was better. What I'm trying to say is sometimes it don't always work out. Sometimes we do get it probably exactly what we deserve. Sometimes. I'm not saying Michael. Yeah, you know, the good thing about preaching a revival, I'm the only one preaching. Oh, man. Back to the point. Sometimes it takes me a while to get back there. You know, what we need to be worried about is a relationship with God. You know, a relationship, you know over there where the Bible says, there in Thessalonians, where it says, pray without ceasing? I think God wants us to pray without ceasing. I don't believe that means that we need to put on white robes and go off in some secluded place and live there. I don't think that's what that means. I think when God says pray without ceasing, He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to have a communion with Him.
That's right.
And sometimes it could be days and weeks that all you do is cry out to God. And that's okay. You know, if you have a problem, if my daughter has a problem, if my wife has a problem, then I want them to talk to me about it. I want them to have confidence with me.
Amen.
I want to resolve some things with them. If I can be a help, if I can help my family out, they need to talk to me. If I don't know there's nothing wrong, how am I going to help?
That's right.
But lots of times, that's exactly what we do. We're miserable sometimes because we're not talking with God. We need that relationship.
Amen.
We need to get that joy back. You know, and as I was thinking of this, just some simple thoughts and just a few points tonight that I just want to mention, because it does say that thy people may rejoice in thee.
Amen.
You know, God should be the focus. But I mean, what does it take you to what does it take to rejoice? What does it take for you to rejoice? You know, I got real happy. I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I got excited today. You know why? I went to the pump to put some gas in, and I remembered I had a Walmart card that somebody gave me in a little thing. And so I said, I want to see if I have any more money in there. You know, and I pulled that thing out, and I had $4 on there. $4, man. I got excited. Man, this is great. And I'm telling you about it. And you're thinking, $4 of gas? Who cares? It's like a gallon and a half. Who cares? But you know what? What makes you excited?
Amen.
When something happens in your life, when you get a car, when one of your kids does well in school.
Amen.
I mean, don't you want to tell everybody? I do.
Yeah.
You know, I posted on the internet. My daughter got all A's and one B in English. Go figure in English. I want to tell everybody. Even though it didn't happen to me, I didn't get all the A's. But my daughter got all the A's. And I'm happy. You get something in your life. You get a raise. You get a new job. You get new clothes. Well, maybe not new clothes, but at least for men, right? Women are a little different. I still don't understand some things that women do with clothes. High heels. What's up with that? I don't understand that. One day, Lauren and I was taking Lauren to school a few years back, and there was a lady walking to the bus stop in Mexico. And in Mexico, we don't have the nicest streets nor the nicest sidewalks. And this lady had high heels, huge things. And she's walking, and she's suffering. I was having a good time. I was laughing. I was thinking, this is incredible. If I had to wear high heel shoes to work, I'd wear tennis shoes when I get there, and then put on my pumps. But I started saying, Lauren, look at this. I just can't believe it. And you know what Lauren said? But she looks nice, Dad. What gets you excited? And when you get excited, when you're rejoicing, when something is in your life that causes you to smile, don't you want to tell somebody?
Yeah,
and sometimes you don't even have to tell anybody that you're happy. You just walk in and you got a smile. You just walk in and you got a little bounce to you, and they say, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, oh, I'm glad you asked. You know, this is what happened. I found $4 in a gas car today. Yeah, that's good news. You know, just a couple of quick points. And it might be a whole bunch of different things for you to get that joy back in the Lord, but you need to find it.
Yeah.
It might be different for you. Some things that I said or something that happens to me, my relationship with God might be a little bit different. It might, some things that I think about to get me excited in the Lord might not be It might not work for you. But we need to do it. We need to find something. You know, and the first thing I thought of about rejoicing in the Lord is the obvious God's salvation. I mean, this is a tremendous thing. You can just think about God's salvation and that should get you revived. At least start up. At least a little boost to think, you know what? I wasn't even looking for God.
Right.
Isn't that incredible that sometimes we think, man, I gotta have the right words for somebody. And if I don't have the right words, they're not gonna get saved. Well, you know what? I got news for you. God saves people who aren't even looking to get saved.
Yeah. Amen.
I guarantee you, I was not looking to get saved.
Yeah.
I was not looking for God. You know what I was looking for? I was looking for a chance to humble a man of God if he just talk to me a little bit about the Bible, I'm going to shut them up. I'm serious. I really thought that. I know I've mentioned it before, but Uncle Dell was the one who talked to me about the gospel. And he gave his word. This is incredible. A Christian gave his word that he wasn't going to talk to me about the Bible. He just wanted to meet me. Incredible. He kept his word. He didn't say a word to me. He was talking about everything under the sun. He wanted to know about my mom, my dad, my sisters, where I went to school. And the more he asked me questions, the more he talked to me, the more I was getting upset. You know why? Because I knew any minute he's going to say something about God. It's amazing how God works.
Yeah.
He didn't even say a word. But then when he did, when I did, I said, well, what about this? And then he said, well, you brought it up. I just want you to know that maybe he was thinking in the back of his head. I have no idea. But the minute I said something, he said, you opened the door.
Yeah, that's right.
He wanted me to know that. Salvation. Look what it says in Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Oh, that thy people may rejoice in thee. If you're saved tonight, hey, you should be the happiest creature in the world.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 12, listen to this verse. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We're talking about a precious sacrifice. Somebody paid something that didn't have to pay for it. How long has it been since you've actually thought about that? You know, again, a relationship. So many times we take relationships for granted.
Yes.
Our marriages. We take our marriages for granted. You know, there's no commitment. We just forget. We think something is better around the corner. Well, you know, there's nothing better than this sacrifice.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ paid for us.
Amen.
What does it say there? It says eternal redemption. It's not only a precious sacrifice, but it's a personal one. He died for you. It says here in verse 12, it says, and by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's personal. You know, I know God died and he gave his life for the whole world and I don't understand it because I wasn't looking for him. You know, I don't understand how God can give his life for somebody who's not grateful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? We understand now as Christians how the world can be ungrateful because you were ungrateful. I never gave thanks for God to God for the food I ate. Yeah. Never. You know, I was brought up, my dad taught me, we pray, or if we're going to give thanks, it's after the meal. Because we might die and not eat the meal. Go figure. That's what my dad said. He said, no, son, we pray after because we might not enjoy the meal. It might be bad. We might not. Okay, that sounds good to me. But you know what? God has given us so much. He died for you. He gave that sacrifice. And you know, not only is it personal, but it's forever. It's eternal. You cannot lose salvation.
Amen.
To me, that was so appealing to me. Once I found myself a sinner, find myself that I can't do anything, and God's not expecting me to do anything for my salvation, and He just gave it to me. And He says, I'm willing to save you. I've already died. I'm going to save you, and you'll be mine forever. You know, that doctrine of eternal security is foreign to so many groups. You know, we talk to Jehovah's Witnesses, and the minute we mention eternal security, it's like putting salt on a slug. They just can't stand that doctrine. They just can't believe it. And the almost the very first thing that comes out of their mouth is, oh, then you can live the way you want. Well, you don't understand the price He paid. You don't understand the salvation. You don't understand all that God went through to pull me out of sin and to completely cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And now I'm a child of God. Now I have an inheritance in heaven. Why would I want to keep sinning?
Amen.
Why would I want to go back to that life?
Amen.
But you know, I know what happens. I know Christians and I know Christians sincere. I know they believed. I know they trusted. I know they understood the gospel. We understand why the world doesn't show gratitude towards God, but there's no reason why you and I should treat God that way. Salvation, just think about it. That should bring us to rejoice. Look what it says in Psalms, Psalms 20. Psalms chapter 20. Psalms 20 and verse 5. It says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Look in chapter 40. And guys, this is nothing new. You have a concordance at home? Look up rejoice. Look up glorying, you know, in Christ and God. This should bring joy to our hearts.
Amen.
Look what it says here in 40. It says in verse 16. It says, let all those that seek thee rejoice. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. You know, these verses, it calls for a decision. We will rejoice.
Amen.
It's a decision. You have to decide. It's not going to happen sitting in front of a TV.
Amen.
It's not going to happen just, you know what, coming to church and say, you know what, today's the day God's going to revive me. I'm just going to sit here and somehow just start laughing uncontrollably. It's not going to happen that way.
Amen.
You have to come to a decision. You have to decide. Are you going to live your life grumpy, mad, upset? Where are you going to run to? I mean, if you're God's, if God truly saved you, why would you want to live not rejoicing in God's salvation? You know, it says here continually. It could take you a couple of times. It could take you, you know, several times, decide to do it. And then finally you get revived. These truths of salvation come back to you in floods and memories. You know what? Just thinking about my conversion. Every time I come into this building, I thought about it today as I was watching my daughter up here, my wife sing right here in this area, right around here is where I came and I knelt down and I said, God.
Amen.
You know, it's a marvelous thing when I came up here, the only thing whoever was up here saying, you want to get saved, come on down. I figured, okay, I guess I just come on down and that's how I'll get saved. And so I came down and I knelt down and then Uncle Dale came right up. I don't know where he was, but he ran. He was there. I mean, the minute I got down there, he was there.
Amen.
And you know what the crazy thing about it is? He didn't just say, repeat this. He came up and said, why are you up here? What do you mean, why I'm up here? He said, I got to come up here. He just said, anybody wants to get saved? I'm here. Man, when I think of that, when I think about dealing with God and Him explaining salvation to me and me getting up and saying, you know what? I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm saved. Amen. You know, and it wasn't my first time in church. I came all week that week.
Yeah.
From a person who wasn't even looking for God. A person who wasn't even interested in God. And then that night, when I spoke to him and I sat in my truck, salvation.
Amen.
I sat there as an unsaved man asking God, don't let me die.
Yeah.
I don't know you, but I'm going to go this week. I'm going to go to the revival, the mission conference.
Yep.
And I did every single day. Every single day. You know, back then, what I noticed, some people were rejoicing.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if it's because they knew who I was and I walked in, they said, man, what's he doing here? Weren't we praying that guy to die? What's he doing here? I don't know, but it was different. It wasn't like Catholic Church.
Yeah.
You know, walking in and you're water, and I mean, it wasn't anything like that. You sit down, it wasn't anything like that. It wasn't dead.
Amen.
It was very different. And the songs were different. And just the spirit was different. I mean, people were happy. I'm not saying we're not happy now. But maybe we should get happier.
Amen.
Like I said, some things maybe will hit you a little bit different, but when I read these verses and it says, continually, the Lord be magnified, it's all about Him.
Amen.
Continually, Lord, I'm yours. You're it. You're whatever you say, you save me. Thank you. I trust no one else. Why don't you say that a little bit? Why don't you spend a little bit of time thanking God about your salvation? It might even cause you to repent of some things. But look what else it says. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Who am I that God thinks about me? Who are you? I mean, seriously, man. Have you ever tried to tell somebody where Oak Knoll is?
Right.
They don't know where we are.
That's right.
I mean, we tell Cal Ingram, Where are you, man? You know, I mean, we don't know where you are. We're like hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that Bonanza-looking building. Right there on Oak Knoll. Bonanza? Yeah, we get buffet there, man. Come on down. All you can eat. He thinketh upon me. You know, you know when I read that? We all take showers here, right? Right? Yeah. Hopefully. When I read that verse, I thought of Matthew chapter 10, where it says that all the hairs are numbered.
Yes.
Every time you shower, God's thinking about you.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're probably thinking that's pretty corny, but it gets me happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I wake up in the morning, and sometimes after a bad night, sometimes after weeks of maybe not seeing nothing, and I'm probably complaining, and I'm showering, and I'm complaining, and then I look down thinking that drain is stuffed with hair. It's not my hair. But then it causes me to think about that verse. How does that verse go? In Matthew it says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
Amen.
I mean, you might say, well, come on, you're taking that. I'm just reading it.
Right.
If it's numbered, and let's say I have, I don't know, a million, then if I lose one, well, then I'm going to, you know the number. God knows the number. Okay, if you have 10, you lose one, you have 9. But you know what? Another thing I thought about, how about not only salvation, but how about God providing for us?
Amen.
Providing for us, man. How many of us live under a bridge? I preach to those people under the bridge. I think they still got a church under the bridge. You ever been there? The church under the bridge? There in 35? Still there? Do you live under a bridge? Do you live in a cardboard box? God's provision. And you don't even deserve it.
Amen.
What about the country that you were blessed to be born in?
Amen.
You know, I don't blame the Mexicans coming over here to work. They're in Puebla. They're thinking about raising the bus fare to 8 pesos. It's 5 right now. They want to raise it to 8 pesos. And you're thinking, 8 pesos? Let me see. That's like maybe 60 cents? Oh, that's nothing. Yeah. Try living on $5 a day.
Yeah.
I don't curse these guys for being up here. I don't counsel anybody to come. I really don't. Some people in our churches and they say, look, brother, we got problems. We trust, please, just trust in God. I mean, right here, God can do something. You know, God can help you out. You know, I tell our people, you live in a country where you can work for yourself and probably make a lot more money than 50 pesos a day. I know they can. There's a brother there in Toluca who, by trade, he's an electrician. And he went through a bad spell. He didn't have any work. He couldn't find any work. And he was hurting. And I told him, brother, do you have a bucket? Yeah, I got a bucket. Do you have a little rag? Do you have some soap? Go out and wash some cars. And he said, oh, but cars. I said, it's good work. It's honorable work. I mean, brother, you're an electrician by trade, but you got a family. You know, don't let pride, don't let those the feeling of I'm better than that to get in the way.
Amen.
You know what? God blessed him.
Yeah,
he got into a college parking lot and he was washing 10, 12 cars a day. And you're talking back then it was probably 20 pesos. Minimum wage is 50 pesos. Well, you do the math. It was more than 50 pesos. That got him over the hump.
Yeah.
You know what? It wasn't long where he was coming to church happy,
yeah,
rejoicing. Why? Because God provided for him.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, just not only salvation, but the provision God provides for our needs. And sometimes we don't even understand. We don't deserve this stuff. Look what it says. Look what it says in Psalms 5. It says, Psalms 5 verse 11, it says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them, and let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." You know, we can rejoice. God defends us. God provides for us. I mean, yeah, everybody wants more. But you know what happens when you think about having more? You're not rejoicing.
Amen.
I remember one time, I don't know what we bought Lauren. I really don't. I don't know what we bought her, but it came in a box. And I, you know, we spent the money on that crazy toy. I don't even know what it was. And we had the box there, and I'm pulling it out. I think I'm assembling the dumb toy. And Lauren starts playing with the box. And she starts climbing in and out of the box and playing dolls and playing. And I'm setting up the crazy toy, and I'm thinking, I got this toy for you, and you're playing with a box. Sometimes you think you need more stuff when God has provided for you.
Amen.
I mean, praise God for more stuff. If God gives you more stuff, if God gives you a better house, a better car, a better job, you know, praise God for those provisions. God does bless us.
Amen.
You know, we should not only be happy and rejoicing and revived that God blesses us, but that He blesses other people in the church.
Amen.
How long was David looking for a job? And now you got a pretty good job, don't you, David? I'm glad you got a better job. I'm happy that David had got a better job. I'm glad Bill got a good job. I mean, he can retire pretty soon working in that job. Right? Didn't you tell me that? I thought you'd tell me that. My stories are better. Look what it says in Exodus 18:9. Look, it says, "And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to him," to Israel. He rejoiced at all the goodness that God had done to Israel.
Amen.
You know, it is possible to be happy for someone else.
Amen.
I'm glad Bill has a bigger house. You know, I actually have a room now at his house. I'm set up, man. And, you know, pretty soon when he gets that back room done, I have a full bathroom in there when I come visit. And I don't have to pay the taxes. I mean, come on. I mean, well, can't we rejoice in somebody else?
Amen.
And if you get stuff and you hoard it just for yourself, that doesn't bring you joy.
That's right.
You know what? Before I had Lauren, I was stingy. I didn't want to share nothing. You know, if I had a plate of menudo, don't you ask me. It's mine. My food. I ain't sharing with nobody. But you know, God gave me a baby girl. And now she doesn't like to go out with Dad no more. But when she was little, when she was growing up, when she was 3, 4, 5, almost every Saturday, we'd go out and get our menudo. It's time for mom to get a break, and I'd take her out for a few hours on Saturday. And I'd sit there, and it was, at first it was me and her had to share the same bowl, because I wasn't going to spend more money and buy her a bowl, she was going to eat it. But, you know, it got to the point where I couldn't even eat, but I had fun just watching her. You know, sharing with her. This is something that I bought, and I was, it just filled me. It tasted better. I mean, I know maybe some of you don't like menudo, but I think it's really good, and it tasted better just sharing it with my daughter. You know, God has given you stuff, and lots of times we have this tendency of just hoarding.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd have a much better time giving it away.
Amen.
Or just sharing. Yeah. Just share. You know, just look at another person enjoying what you have. I mean, don't worry about it. You'll get to go home with it. Just share a little bit. You know, the provision God provides for us. You know, I'm also think about, we can also rejoice, and this is incredible. You turn to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Page 958 in my Bible. But it says in verse 17, it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. You know, that's some pretty bad times. I mean, okay, there's no fruit, there's no vegetables, all right, but no meat. I mean, that's hurting. You know, have you ever eaten a veggie burger? It don't taste too good. I mean, it tastes like veggies and bread. But something about that meat inside. Look what he says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. You know, I looked that up, hinds' feet. And when I looked that up, it's talking about animals being able to climb on high mountains and jumping from one rock to another and being able to balance themselves and climbing. You know what? That's exactly like us. We jump from one danger to another, from problems, one problem to another. This is what God gives us. You know, it is possible, even though we suffer, and even though we might come in times where we might not have a whole bunch of stuff, we don't need stuff to rejoice in the Lord. We have a fine example right here. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I think we can rejoice also in the Lord in Jeremiah 9, chapter 23. Chapter 9, verse 23. You know, it doesn't matter if we go through some bad times, if people are mean to us, if people don't give us the respect we think we need or we deserve. You know, it doesn't matter what happens in life of a Christian. You know why? Because a Christian will always be a child of God.
Amen.
That's why he could say, yet I will rejoice. Man, and we can say it's a consolation, but man, what a consolation. Sometimes we use that word, well, you know, at least that. Well, you know what? At least, come on, that's huge. A child of God? How many of you guys, how many of us that have kids don't go out of our way for our kids? I mean, you know, sometimes they, you know, we gotta let them struggle. We gotta let them, you know, claw their way through life and learn some things. But we're not too far away. At least I'm not. We're right there. You need a little help? Let me help you. Let me give you something. Let me help you out. Well, you know, that's why he could rejoice. The God of his salvation is the God of our salvation. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." You know people like that? Wise people? Think they're, and they probably are. They're probably smarter than you. They're probably, you know, wiser than you. But if God has given you any kind of intelligence, if God has given you light in anything, you ought to glory, you ought to give glory to God.
Amen.
It's not of you.
Right.
Has God given, you know, those people who think they're real strong, they're real, they can handle anything? They're idiots.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, God can squish them like a bug anytime.
Yeah, that's right.
You think we're sometimes we think we're we don't need God. No, you need God.
Amen.
You need to be happy in God. You need to rejoice in God. You need the God of your salvation.
That's right. Amen.
Riches? Yeah, people that really think they're something because they got a lot. They got riches. They got houses. They got cars. They got gold. They got money. They got accounts. They got... And great. Fine. Whatever. Who cares? You know... I got what I need.
Yes.
And just look at me. I'm not, you know, the picture of health here. I mean, I'm not suffering. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, all this week, I'm going to be taken out to eat. At least I think. I mean, I'm pretty sure those names are real names. I haven't really looked at them. Look what it says. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me.
Amen.
I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What a privilege it is to understand God.
That's right.
To know Him.
Amen.
You know, over there in Corinthians, doesn't it say that you know, people think that things of God are foolish? It's because they need to examine themselves spiritually. Doesn't it say that over there? I think in chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians. Probably quote it in Spanish. Right now, it's not recalling it real good, but in chapter 2, it says that. It's foolishness to men.
That's right.
But it's because they're not spiritual.
Yeah.
But what about you and I? We know the will of God. What's the will of God? Rejoice.
That's right.
And again, I say rejoice. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to rejoice.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have nothing to be upset about. We don't have anything to be down about. We should be bouncing in and out of here.
Amen.
We should be just wanting to be with God and hear His Word and be strengthened and go out and just share the grace of God to anybody and everybody.
That's right.
You know, and sometimes we just forget about that. But I'm telling you, the point of revival is to rejoice not in you, not in this building, but to rejoice in God.
Amen.
And you know what I know? If we can come to that place where we rejoice in God, I truly believe that we'll get more people.
Amen.
It's amazing to me. It really is. And you can just experiment with it. Go downtown San Antonio on a busy Sunday afternoon and just stand there and look up in the sky. You know what's going to happen? People are going to walk by and, what's he looking at?
That's right.
Just try it out.
Yeah.
Why? Because people are curious. By nature, we just say, what's going on there? And you know what? It's a funny thing when we pass out tracts, especially when the young people go and we pass out tracts in downtown Mexico and there's a gazillion people passing by. It's hilarious to me to watch because if the first person getting off that subway doesn't take the tract, no one takes it. You know? No, I don't want it. And you're trying to give it out and they just go, no. If he said no, then I don't want it.
Yeah.
And so you stop and you wait for 30,000 people to walk by. It takes about 2 seconds. And then you try it again. Hey, buddy, did you get one of these? Oh, no, what is that? You know? And then, give me one. Everybody wants one.
Yeah.
But it was the same paper I just tried to give out 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
You know what? I think if we just get a little bit of joy
Amen.
In the Lord, I think it just might help us out, not only spiritually, not only in this assembly, but it just might get people going, what's up with you? Where'd you come from? Or, you know, what's going on? Oh, I've been at church and I'm going back again tonight for the Lord's table. What's going on here? You know, I think that's what we need. One more thing. Romans. Romans chapter 5. Let's read in verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice
Amen.
In hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
You know what? The last thing I want to just mention, this should get us rejoicing, to get us excited. Is one day, the Bible says over there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, for we shall see him as he is. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, the glory that shall be revealed. In Psalm 17, 15, let's read that one. I'll read it. 17, 15. It says, as for me, I like the way it starts off. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied and when I awake with thy likeness.
Amen.
You know, the best day that you and I are going to have is when we die.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
That's going to be the Batman. Just think about the hope.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's not even to be compared to. We're going to be like Christ. What an amazing thought. The last day on earth is going to be the last day you sin. Don't you just hate sin? I hate it. I hate it in myself, not as much as I hate it in you, and that's wrong. But sin is bad. Sin is destroyed. I mean, just think about it, man. If everybody was in this church who is gone because of sin, how much more could we do for the gospel?
Amen.
Our missionaries in Poland wouldn't have to work.
Yeah.
If everybody who got messed up with sin would come back and get right. But you know, when we die, we're not going to have to mess with that no more.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the hope
Amen.
Of God's glory. Now, I'm not, you know, it's like that joke, right? Have you heard that joke about, see if I can remember. I'm a bad joke teller. I'm a bad storyteller, too. about that little kid who was in Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher in Vacation Bible School was talking about heaven, and they had a bunch of kids there, and they were talking about going to heaven, and the teacher said, "Who wants to go to heaven?" And all the kids raised their hand, except for one little kid. And that Sunday school teacher is going, "Oh man, you know what's wrong with this little kid?" And she said it again, and did raise a hand. And she goes up to him and she says, "You don't want to go to heaven when you die?" He goes, "Oh yeah." She said, "Well, why aren't you raising your hand?" He goes, "Well, I thought you were getting a group ready to go right now." You know, I'm kind of like that. I want to go there. Yeah. I got that hope.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, I'm not ready to go now. I want to do so much more. You know, I wanna see. I got aspirations.
Yes.
I mean, down there in Mexico, we got about, if, and it all depends on how you count. It really does. We got about 22 meeting places.
Yeah.
Down there in Mexico, and I say it because a couple of them have broken off, not right. But they're still meeting and trying to serve God the best they can. And okay, we'll let God figure all that out later on. But I want to see God. I would love to see a revival in Mexico.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, people talk about, oh, it's so bad in Mexico. And yes, it is bad in Mexico. And all these things are happening. All this. But you know what? We have a missionary right now out of Aguascalientes who's working in Durango. Durango's a bad state. I don't know. You don't Google Durango because, well, you can Google it. You don't live there. I live in Mexico. I try not to Google it. But it's bad. Almost all these, you know, big time, you know, capos are from there. And this guy has a burden. His name is Ramiro Garcia. He had a burden for Durango. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
A long time. He's been to Guadalajara. He's been to Zacatecas and always wanted to go to Durango. I want to go to Durango. The Lord finally opened that door to go to Durango. About 5 months ago, right in the thick of it, man, I just thought, oh no. I mean, here we are, you know, and here he is in a place where this is bad news.
Yeah.
You know, that guy has around 20 believers right now meeting with him. He's got so much work and he needs more support. He really does. It's incredible. And he's out there and he's doing the best he can and he does odd jobs and he can't do odd jobs because he's got too many studies. Let me tell you, sometimes our circumstances opens lots of doors.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. But we have a glorious hope. There's so many more things that I want to see. I want to experience. You know? I got plans just like you got plans.
Yeah.
I want to see my daughter grow up, make wise decisions, come to her wise dad. One day ask me, "Dad, who do you think I should marry?" I'll pick them. You got plans, I got plans. But at the same time, I have a hope. I know exactly where I'm going to go.
Amen.
You know, that hope. And it just keeps me going. When I think about, and when you think about the times you just want to give up, and it's just not worth it. It's just too tiring. It's just too much. It's just the burden's too big. And just right around the corner is waiting for blessing.
Amen.
God's going to do something. God's going to open this thing up. He's not done with us. Obviously, we're still here.
Amen.
You know, I think the point of revival, like I said, is thy people may rejoice in thee. And we need to think about God's salvation and bring our joy back. His provision. Even God's trials. The trials that we go through.
Yeah.
Understanding and knowing God. Man, we know a personal God.
Yeah.
Not somebody who's out there, but somebody who's in here. And the hope of glory.
Amen.
You know, I think we're wasting our time trying to find joy in something else.
That's right.
It ain't never going to fill us.
Amen.
You want joy? Start rejoicing in God.
Amen.
Last verse, 2 Peter, verse 1. According, chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto all things, us all things, that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, in Christ we have all life, godliness. It's in Christ. It's not in things. It's all about him. Amen.